Okay, so hello everybody. We have so this today is Tuesday the 12th of December. This is the 8 o'clock in the evening call, and it's me and delightful Mary here today, just the two of us, and we are so happy to welcome you in to watch along on the recording. I think what we'll do to begin with is we'll just Mary and I have just checked in. But I think we'll just take a moment to really get here and just land in ourselves. So if you're watching in the recording and offering this to Mary as well, I just invite you to take a moment to drop into yourself. You might want to close down your eyes. You might want to gaze off into the middle distance and just let yourself feel supported by whatever is underneath you, whatever is holding you up today, your chair, your feet on the ground, your wonderful spine keeps you strong all day long. Notice if your breath just wants to deepen a little bit as you settle in. Just notice what's here with you. Notice if there's any pockets of tension in your body. Do a bit of a scan on your feet, slowly rising up your body. How's it feeling to be in your body right now? Notice if you've got sensations or emotions present. Acknowledge them. Notice if you've got some thoughts that are swimming in and out of your mind. Just let them be here. Giving yourself a bit of a pat for making this time for you today. Knowing that whatever you bring is welcome. And then wriggling our toes, bringing our hands together, giving them a little rub, fluttering our eyes open, and just taking in the room. And then we'll come into the call. Hi. So, Mary, I was thinking before I came on about what's present for me in terms of this work and self-belief and all the stuff that we talk about here. And I was just reflecting on something that feels a little bit different. And so I thought I'd start by sharing that because I think it could be an interesting thing for us to talk about and for other people that might listen in. And that's, as you know, I launched my group, Women's Circle Journey last week, and I had a really interesting experience because knowing that I was going to be starting towards the end of January next year, and knowing that there's Christmas and all the busyness and it's winter and I like to be slow and hibernate, I thought I'll give myself a really good amount of time so that I don't feel like this whole inviting people to join me is in any way a slog. You know, I wanted it to feel just like a natural extension of me opening up and saying, hi, come on in. And for that to not feel like some, you know, when we're in business, sometimes the launches can feel a bit kind of stressy and frantic. And it was like the last thing I wanted to invite in. So I gave myself nearly 2 months to fill this. And I had like a minimum number and I had a maximum number. And I hit the maximum number after 5 days. And you know, it was so fascinating for me. It was wonderful, totally wonderful. I'm so grateful. And I was observing it through, you know, the lens of this work here that we do at Self-Belief School. And I was just watching, you know, like the more we dive into this work, I don't know if you found this, but the more I find that I sort of am able to watch myself from the corner of the room and I'm able to tune in to my parts and go, ah, oh, that's interesting that my protector is doing that right now. Or, oh, look at that. Look at what's coming up there. And where's that coming from? And I noticed that at some point during the week when I'd got over my minimum number, my protector got really activated because understandably, I think my protector was going, okay, I didn't really want you to do this big scary thing. Like, I didn't really want us to go so public with so, you know, such a big invitation to come along for a 6 month journey. That was risky. And now look what's happened. People have said yes. And that means we have to do it. Like, my protector was having a small meltdown one of the mornings going, okay, this is going to be interesting. And I was watching this dialogue between my protector and my healthy self. And that was only like a small blip. And then when I closed the bookings, because it was completely full, I was sat with that place. Actually, Sass messaged me and asked how it was feeling. And I said, instinctively, it felt easeful, joyful, and warm. Like it just felt so good. And then I was thinking about that over the next 24 hours. And what kind of landed for me was, so we might focus a lot on what could go wrong and all the ways that, like, don't do that, you might hurt yourself, all the many ways that our protector wants to say that. And then what I've been sat with is, so what about when something goes right then? Like, what do we do with that? You know, and I've got lots of thoughts about that. I've got lots of my own answers. But I'm curious about it because I think when we spend a lot of time thinking about, well, what could go wrong? The experience of something going right. Well, I mean, I think it can go a few ways. You know, it can just feel completely wonderful, and also it can bring up like, well, I don't know what to do with that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, how do we integrate the things going right? And I think where I've landed with my thinking today, because I've just been mulling this over with curiosity, like nothing has gone wrong. It's all so good. But I've been thinking, I think the piece of the puzzle for me is, can we really let ourselves integrate that thing that went right? Like, can we really let ourselves be with it? Can we totally accept it? Like, I feel like there's a possibility that our protector could be kind of like batting it away or dismissing it or downplaying it. I think we do a lot of that. I'm thinking that a really beautiful way to meet ourselves is, can we really accept and integrate these things that go right? Can we take them in? Can we let them be the new stories
mm-hmm.
that we reference?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where my thinking has been. And I just wanted to offer it up and see if that in any way resonates.
So one thing that comes to me is that self-belief school is peeling away these layers of habits and choices and strategies that my protector has used over the years to protect me.
Yeah.
Whether or not there's anything to be protected from or not is a whole nother discussion, but and I've come to think of me as those things, as those strategies, as those habitual responses, as those choices. And self-belief school, as it gives me a very different lens to look at those things through, is giving me space between those choices and behaviors and who I am, who the observer is. So I'm like, how do I integrate that new knowledge of myself or that lack of knowledge of who I am into new choices and new behaviors and new ways of knowing? So that's one of my responses to what you said. I think integration is so big for me. And in a very granular way, I've been working for a little bit more than 2 years in this role that was new to me in my profession. I've been in my profession for 38 years, but this particular role was new to me.
Yeah.
And a stretch. Things shifted in September, right around the anniversary of self-belief school. And my position started to really become untenable. And without going into lots of gory details, I was coming to a definite fork in the road. And really had a chance to use some of the strategies that I was acquiring and investigating and trying out or not trying out over the last year. And that all came to fruition about a week ago. And wow, my protector just popped right up when of really good things came out of it. Lots and lots of good things. Affirmation of who I am, of my role there, of the value I brought to the situation, and a hefty raise. So a monetary, not just lip service. My protector was like, oh no, we don't. Oh no, you know, not so fast. So trying to integrate, like you said, this this is all, of course, a lot of it is just the universe being kind, because the universe is, my experience is the universe is kind. But some of it was me stepping up and using warrior and love and healthy sovereign to advocate for myself, not just for other people, which I'm awfully good at because that's what martyrs do. But to advocate for myself, to use all these new healthy strategies, really, to use them in for me, for my own behalf. Mm-hmm. And my protector just had a lot to say and has had a lot to say and continues to have a lot to say about what has happened. And so I relate to what you're saying about, not that I didn't participate and work hard and invite this all in, and yet my protector is saying, I don't think you can really do that. I think that's too big a stretch this time. You know, you're really too old to take these on. I don't think you can do this. I think you really want to do other things. I don't think you really want to do this. you know, this is going to be a really public fail. Do you want to do a public fail? Are you really at that point in your life and you want to do a very public fail? Or do you want to like maybe stay safe and play small? So yeah, it's been very interesting.
So fascinating, right? And I love that share, Mary. Thank you for bringing that. I can relate so much. And you know what? It reminds me of in Self Belief Coaching Academy, we have like supervision calls. Mm-hmm. And it reminds me of a conversation again that I had with Sass recently around when something shifts. And it's almost like we find ourselves in a new land. Mm. It's like something shifts enough that there's this whole new territory to kind of map out, navigate, integrate, like occupy, be in. Mm. And how that just, it might have been a subtle shift, but it's enough of a shift that the map has changed, right? Mm-hmm. And the effect that that can have on our protector can be huge. It can feel like it's kind of I can't think of the word, like it's like its response is magnified in mm-hmm. that sense. Well, this is certainly what I was describing that I had experienced. And we talked about like how much sense that makes. Like, of course, our protector's like, okay, you did the risky thing. I was telling you not to do it. And now look, we're in this new place. Well, like there's no map. We don't know where anything is. Look what mess you've got us into now, right? Because I guess it really helps me to remember that our protector is scared all the time. It's really scared and it just really wants to keep us safe. And of course, new territory is going to feel really stretchy. Yeah, alarming even to our protector. And yeah, you know, I think maybe what's needed, and this is something we spoke about in that call, is some time for integration, mm-hmm. you know, some real kind of checking in with, yeah, I get that. I get how that would feel really alarming to find that, you know, not only did we do this risky thing, but it also delivered us into a new place. Like, I get how stretchy that would feel. What do you need? What do we need? Mm-hmm. How can we meet ourselves here? And it's almost like, you know, tending to that part of us that has the alarm going off. So we can start to regulate it and just kind of just settle it back down like we would with our dear children when they've, you know, had a bit of a meltdown over something. Can we first do that? Can we first turn to ourselves and go, what do we need here? Like, how?
I'm just writing a bit.
Yeah, please do. How do we bring all of that real stretchiness into some kind of integrated, regulated place? What are the small daily ways we can take care of us and perhaps remember all the stuff that's the same. Mm. Like there's this new stuff, there's this new territory, there's a new map to draw. And what? Let's look around and see what we can see that is the same. Mm. And lean into those things. So there's partly that comes up for me. And the other side of it, I guess, and maybe it's the next step after we've done that. You know, I really feel like the tending for me feels like, yeah, God, that feels like a good place to start. And the next part, I think, is, like I said before, can I be with this newness? Can I be with this thing that went right? Can I let my healthy self really own it and integrate it? Can I be with the thought that I am someone who can open up a group journey that I felt really strongly was needed, give myself loads of time, and it sell really easily and fill up in less than a week? Like, can I own that I am that person? Yeah, like Mary, can you own that in taking care of you, in advocating for your needs, in championing you? Can you be with that? Yeah, you are someone who achieved what you've achieved, warranted a raise. How does it land for you when I say that?
So two things are coming up. One is I've been doing a lot of this inner child, I hate to say work, it sounds so trite, but just trying to recognize and dialogue with my inner child in whatever way I can. And and part of it is just to say, so what do you need? What's going on? What do you need in this moment? Because I'm very good at ignoring all my own needs, because I got really good at ignoring them back then. So sometimes she's the one who knows that I'm hungry, and she's the one who knows it's time for bed. And I'm the one who's like, oh, no, it's fine. Let's keep going. So like I'm integrating her more, or listening more, let's put it that way. And like, that's what I'm also hearing, is that's the way to integrate this new experience and landscape, is to keep checking in, get granular, instead of like, wow, kind of being overwhelmed by what have I done, looking at the risk, is to be like, okay, like you said, like what is it today that I need to be aware of, and where are the familiar landmarks in this new landscape, and what does look like an anchor, and reassuring myself in those ways versus listening to the voice going so many swear words, just carrying on, but to address it. I'm thinking to myself the same way I address this child of, okay, like you said, like, okay, come on in, sit down, let's have a cup of tea, let's get a nice heavy blanket, let's get cozy. What do we really need right now? It's probably not panic and swear words, it's probably something else. But to invite that in.
Yeah.
Yeah, give it a seat at the table versus pushing it away.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we're all here, right? We're all of our parts. We're all here in this new territory.
Right. That's right. Yes. Like that, like they say, wherever you go, there you are.
Yeah.
yes, and that image of the bus that SAS has.
Yeah.
These protectors don't have to drive the bus, but they are definitely still on my bus. And
we need them to be. We need them to be. We just don't need them in the driver's seat.
Yours. Right. 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 We don't need them in the driver's seat. And we don't need them. I don't need them so ignored that they are screaming and carrying on and I won't say hallucinating, but making things scarier than they need to be.
Yeah.
What is that? Like magnifying the risks, magnifying the fear to like, okay, come in, sit down. What is it that you need to say? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I so get that. My favorite place to have my protector is right beside my healthy adult self in the driving seat. It's like, not the protector in the driving seat, but the healthy adult self in the driving seat and my protector right there. So I can go, look, it's okay. I hear you. I hear your concerns. I hear this is stretchy. And I really think this is okay. Like, I really think we can experiment with this at the moment. I really think we can be curious. And don't worry, I've got this. Like, I'm going to take care of us. I mean, I guess in that sense, it sounds a little bit parent and child, right? I don't think that Sass would characterize the protector as a child, but certainly the voice that we sometimes hear will be a younger voice. Mm-hmm. So I do quite like to be in that place of, yeah, I can reassure this part of me. Mm-hmm. I can listen. I can make sure it's heard and take care of all of us by, yeah, reassuring and taking some time to settle everything down when it needs to.
Yes.
When we need to, oh, I've got a thing popping up on my screen. When we need to integrate something, and because, you know, when something goes right, when something new happens that is expansive to us, like, we are right there expanding our self-concept. Of course, that's new territory, right? Mm-hmm. I am a person who now does this. Like, it's expansion. We're leaning into another part, another aspect of us. We're expanding part of us. Of course, it feels like new territory. And yeah, I think it feels a lot like being able to show my protector, I think it's okay. I think this new territory is going to really suit us. Like, let's walk around. Let's, you know, we don't have to move anything. We don't have to, like, you know, go at speed. We can just kind of tiptoe in, look around, suss everything out. Like, there's time, there's space. This integration doesn't have to happen overnight. We don't need to become a whole new person right now. We're just gently expanding into this new thing. This could be really cool. So yeah, those are my thoughts for today.
I think that my protector hasn't trusted my healthy adult self to show up and drive the bus, and therefore it really had to do this, all the heavy lifting. And I think this last year of being incubated in a self-belief school has strengthened the muscles of the healthy adult self, strengthened the concept of the healthy adult self, practiced using those skills that, you know, really in many ways I've had all the way along, but didn't use them really on my own behalf or, yeah. So it is a process of integration. This whole journey has been a process of integration, really, for me. And this is one more big step in that process of, I think in some ways it's much more public, which has really turned up the volume for me on the protector, is how public this one is. And I've taken risks before. I've reinvented myself in this career, gone in this direction instead of that direction, done a lot of different things, but this one is pretty public. And I think that's part of it for me, where the risk has been notched up. And That's interesting. I'm just saying it. I'm just realizing it as I'm saying it. But I also think my process of getting here has been so much more healthy adult self than ways I've taken on risks before. So I think that's going to serve me really well. Instead of sort of like, I think in the past, I've not been a fraud, but maybe taken on something that was a stretch and got left with, I won't say imposter syndrome, because I'm not sure how I feel about that whole term, but that feeling of like, fake it till you make it. I don't like that term either, but a lot of that, which to me is anxiety producing. But this time I've been very much healthy adult self. This is who I am. This is what I need. I understand you're doing that. If you can't do this, that works, but not for me. So go ahead. And getting more than I asked for. So yeah, it's so much. It's so rich, really, this experience for me.
Sounds amazing, Mary. It sounds like your healthy adult self has really equipped you for this time. Like, I hear that your protector is getting activated about how public it is. Mm-hmm. And I'm also hearing in the next sentence that you say, your healthy adult self coming in and going, yeah, but you know what? We've got access to all these really good resources.
Yes.
You know, we're advocating for us. I'm belonging to me. I have this real strong sense of what I'm doing here. And yeah, I wonder, have you noticed, is your protector doing its thing, needing you to hear the messages? And is it showing up in any particular resistance? Are you noticing, is it just kind of there? And you know, making itself known, or is it actually showing up in terms of some form of resistance to the doing or the moving into this new space? Are you noticing anything like that?
So I think one way that my protector tries to keep me safe is overdoing and underdoing. So overdoing, and part of me, I can hear it saying, okay, we got to do this. We got to get a plan. We got to get this all set. You got to know that you're going to be this and this and this, and you're going to have this by this point and know this by this point. And that person has to be your mentor and has to be, and another, so that's one thing. And so that breeds anxiety for me, because life just isn't, in my experience, that cut and dry. I don't easily get from A, B, C, D. Those are great plans. I make plans and have the universe laugh at them. So that's one way of coping for me, for my protector to get going, okay, we've got this. This is what we're going to do. And then the other way is to, play solitaire for hours. I'm not going to think about it. It's too big and overwhelming, so I'm going to go over here. I really need some dopamine. I really need to just relax. I really need to just check out mentally. I can write myself so many blank checks, so many rationalizations. So I see both of those running. And neither one is they're just both forms, I think, of the same anxiety and fear.
Yeah, I'm hearing that. Tell me where I'm wrong. I'm hearing the first one you described as the critic, Mm-hmm. The second one you described as the bystander, like it's overwhelming, it's too hard, don't try. The critic saying, overdo, overwork, make it perfect. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, just thinking about what we talk about in self-belief school, where we need to, like, whichever face of the protector is active, we need to like move around the compass to the next one. And so for the scapegoat, I'm looking over there. In fact, I've got it in front of me. For the scapegoat, we'd be looking around at the sage energy, and we'd be looking at what are our choices? What's our discernment and our intuition telling us? How can we be in that trust of ourselves? Like, how could we experiment with some of that? Like sometimes sitting with what are all the choices available to me here can be a really helpful way of, I don't know what the right word is, maybe kind of diffusing the overwhelm, or just actually maybe just acknowledging it and going, yep, I see you, this feels big, and like it's not but, it's and. What are our choices? What are all the choices available to me here? How can I feel most in choice? It wasn't easy, doable step I could take. In the direction that I'm needing to take this.
Mm-hmm.
And then with when the critic is really active, that's about moving around, because we can't fix something from the same energy that it's created from. So it's moving around to the next one and saying, okay, self-acceptance, lover energy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how can I belong to myself here? Mm-hmm. What are my needs? What are my emotions? How can I be really rooted in me instead of that energy of got to prove myself?
Mm-hmm.
Got to tick all the boxes for other people. Like, what are our boxes? How do we feel like we belong to ourselves here in this role, even in this role? Because this is an interesting thing, isn't it? When we work with self-acceptance, we can get more comfortable with the belonging to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And can we also carry that into all the spaces where we move around? Can we remember that's available to us, even at work, even in this role, even with this change?
That this concept that you're bringing up so beautifully, Lisa, I just last week, I think maybe was on a call with SAS. I think there was a coaching call maybe last week, and she talked and used that language of, and I think she was referring to the martyr needing, I can't remember now what the energy was, but saying that what got me into the martyr protector, the energy of the martyr cannot create the new patterns. And so I have to find a different energy, but that concept that I'm hearing it again, you know, harmonic convergence, here we go. But I'm hearing it again, and it just it's resonating so intensely with me, is the reason I think one of the reasons I chose to employ the critic as one of my protectors was I was trying to make everybody else safe by being perfect. If I'm perfect, you will not be able to criticize me. You will not be able to come after me. You can't hurt me because I'm perfect. I'm really trying to make it so that you don't want to hurt me. I'm perfect. You don't have anything to come at me for. So I'm trying to make the other people safe. I think that's my martyr energy too, is, okay, I'm going to be such a good girl there'll be nothing to catch me out about. You can't find a way to criticize, hurt me, punish me, because I'm so good. And even if there's some small thing that wasn't, I've been so good, so over the top good, that you wouldn't possibly want to do that to me. So once again, it's making everybody else safe. And the lover energy and the sage energy and the warrior energy, my interpretation is that it's helping me be safe in myself. I don't know if that makes any sense at all.
It makes complete sense. And yes, that is exactly what we're saying. Because, yeah, we can endlessly figure out what are the unwritten boxes that all you people, you workplace, the people in the workplace, everybody out there, what are all these boxes you have that I need to tick? I'm going to spend all my time making sure I tick every one of those boxes. And then, what do you know? I don't belong to me. I don't feel like I belong to me. I don't feel in choice. I stopped listening to my intuition. Like I'm just to highlight, I'm bringing in the lover and the sage here. It's like, wow, if I play this like never ending game, let's be honest, of box ticking, proving, perfecting, people pleasing, like, yeah, I might achieve a certain level of safety, but geez, I don't feel safe in here.
Right. And of course, we're never really safe because I can't really control the people. That's magical thinking of a 5-year-old. So some part of me always knew, ultimately, I really wasn't safe. So I've done all this, ostracized myself from myself. Like you say, stop listening to my intuition, even though, wow, it would keep saying, stop. And I lost. I shouldn't say lost because that sounds, I was ostracized. I was alienated from my own tender self. And this is about, for me, is about letting go of that strategy of making all of you safe and instead being safe for myself so that no matter what happens out there, I go home with me.
Yes. Yeah, and Mary, I want to say you and most of the population, right? Like, you know, don't feel like this is just a you thing.
I'm not that special.
We know you totally are. And we know that this is quite a universal thing. And I guess I'm curious about, do you remember, I'm trying to think what module it is. I think it's the last module. We did an exercise called the sacred pause, which invites in all of these parts of us. We listen to our protector first, and then we invite in all of the other parts of us. And I was just thinking as I was listening to you then, wow, I'd love to hear what Mary would, you know, write or intuit from doing that around how do I belong to myself in my work? Mm. How do I trust myself in my work? How do I take me and centering me belonging to me, to myself, whilst interacting with and doing this work that I'm choosing to do. This might be interesting to explore that. If you fancy some homework, you don't have to.
Thank you. Thank you. I will definitely be revisiting that. I think that's part of the integration too, isn't it? That sacred pause is to give the time and space for all these parts that are present and ready to participate, to participate.
Yeah. Yeah, so much. And I think that as we get further into this work, the invitation that we maybe find is, okay, and what about in this context? Mm. What about in this context? You know, it's like, it's almost gradually we ripple out into all the areas of our life. Like it might start with, you know, our relationship with that person, or, you know, the way we speak to ourselves. And, you know, it might be very close to begin with. And then once we've got more familiar with this way of being, of this different way of approaching things, then we maybe start to notice, oh, okay, so I'm doing that in part of my life, and I'm not quite doing that at work or with those people or in that context. And that's how it's felt for me, like an unfurling invitation of, okay, and what about here? And so I love the sacred pause to help me, because I now have a better connection to all of those healthy adult self resources of mine. And it's sometimes about remembering to call them in and be like, you know, because we get very habitual about the way we interact with our different contexts. And it's like, oh, yeah. Oh, so I can belong to myself there as well. Mm-hmm. Huh. Now, what would that be like? So, yeah. Mm-hmm. I wonder how that will, how what will come out of that, Mary? I'd be so curious to hear.
I am so grateful, Lisa. I feel like I'm looking at this thing that's going to start more after the first of the year to looking at it with a new lens, with more resources to go back and look through this, bringing this context of work, this new work in front of me and with me, and to process it through this. Thank you so much.
So welcome. So welcome. Mm-hmm. Such a pleasure. I realized that we just like organically flowed into that. Was that what you were bringing today? Is there anything else?
I didn't know I was bringing that. I was coming to be with all these wonderful women, and I got you, and I'm so lucky. But I came to be a bystander today, really. It's like, okay, you know, I'm kind of like half, you know, recovering from being away and just, you know, marinating in all this love. And now I'm a little tired. I'm just going to show up. You know, it's great to show up. I always love showing up. Here we are. So thank you so much.
Here we are. I'm so happy to be all these women for you. Like, I'm just bringing in all my parts.
Oh, thank you so much, Lisa. Thank you. Oh,
it's been such a pleasure, Mary. Thank you for everything you brought today. And anybody listening to the recording, I hope that was super helpful for you. So, Mary, just to mention, Sass said that she's going to send an email out this week to let everybody know that I think the next coaching call is on Wednesday next week. Mm-hmm. And she's going to make it like a reflection retreat for the end of the year for self-belief school. So, I can't actually remember what time. I think it might be 11. Yes. If that fits. And it will also be recorded. So just to let you know that. Perfect. All right, love. I'll leave you to the rest of your day. And I'm going to go and sort my children out, who've just arrived home very loudly.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Such a pleasure. See you soon, love. Bye-bye.